You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Flint Congressman Dan Kildee's decision to stay out of the Democratic race for Michigan's governor made the field a little less crowded for the two declared candidates. One is Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed, the former head of the Detroit Health Department. The other is Gretchen Whitmer. She served for 14 years in the Michigan House and Senate, including 4 years as Senate Minority Leader. And she was the interim prosecutor for Ingham County for the last half of 2016. And she kicked off 2017 by announcing her run for governor in 2018. Gretchen Whitmer, welcome to Stateside.
It's great to be with you.
Now, you considered running for governor in 2014, but in the end, you backed away. So why now? What has changed for you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, in the last cycle, actually, people were trying to recruit me to run for governor, and my daughters were in middle school, and it just was not the right time for me, and I felt like I had made a commitment to the people in my district and my caucus to continue on in the Senate, and I'm really glad that I did. Timing is, personal timing, I think, is paramount, what's in the best interest of the family. But I'll tell you, right now, as a result of the last election, as a result of all of the tough, bad decisions that have been made at the state capitol, there was no question in my mind that we deserve better from our state. My daughters are both in high school this year, and I tell you, I want them to want to stay in Michigan. I want them to have opportunities in Michigan, and I want that for every kid in this state. And we got a lot of work to do on all those fronts, and I don't like to politicize problems. I like to dig in and solve them, and I'm willing to work with anyone who wants to do that too.
Now, since you declared your candidacy at the beginning of this year, what do you hear from people as you go around the state and talk with them?
Well, the amount of energy and engagement, I think, is just really exciting and unprecedented. I have traveled the state. I even spent a week in the Upper Peninsula in February and went to 11 out of 15 counties. And I'll tell you, whether you are in Birmingham or you are in Muskegon or you are in Escanaba, there is this level of energy and enthusiasm that you'd never usually see this far in advance. And I know people want to put their energy, their anxiety or fear or anger about what's happening in Washington, D.C. into something positive, and they're turning out, and it's really exciting to see.
And as you talk to these people, are you talking to any people who went for Donald Trump in November and maybe now have buyer's remorse?
Yeah, well, I think that's the interesting thing is how many people show up at these events who tell me I was a Republican and I feel so left behind by this party that I voted for, or I didn't vote in the last election. I hear that a lot too, and part of me wants to say, why not? But we just have to move forward and say, I'm glad you're here now. Let's work together to make Michigan a leader, where we are lagging the nation now in education and job opportunity and infrastructure. Let's work together and make Michigan a leader. And it really is amazing to see people of all walks of life turning out and wanting to be a part of something positive.
What do you bring to the table, Gretchen? What do you see as your key strengths that you believe would make you a good governor?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I am a lifelong Michigander. I love this state. I'm looking at my daughter's Michigan, and it doesn't even resemble the one that I think of when I talk about my Michigan pride. I've dedicated my life to public service. I think it's important, it's rewarding, and it's a privilege. And as I look at the leadership void that we have right now in Michigan, I know that having served with three different governors, really understanding state government, developing relationships, working with a term-limited legislature, and really being able to use the power inherent to the executive office to get an agenda accomplished is what sets me apart from any other Democrat that is in this race or looking at getting in this race. We need more statespeople who know how to solve problems, and I think that's what I bring to the table and sets me apart.
What do you see as Michigan's biggest challenges? Let's take away, who's in the governor's mansion right now. I'd like to kind of get a sense of what you see as our state's biggest challenges.
Well, right now, one economist has pegged our workforce at only 30% of our population has the skills they need in a 21st century economy. That is abysmal. Where we used to be the best workforce on the planet when we were the arsenal of democracy, now too few of our people have the skills they need. And that means really digging down and providing a K-12 education that gets our kids on the path they need, supporting the teachers that are so essential to that, and really making sure that every Michigander, whether you're in the K-12 system or you are someone who's underemployed or unemployed, has access to get the skills they need so everyone has a path to a career that they can make enough money to raise their family in Michigan and retire with dignity. So I think those are the most crucial, glaring places that we've got to work on. But there are a lot. We've got to fix the problem in Flint, and we've got to fix the crumbling infrastructure in the state. Those are really very high priorities as well for everyone as I engage with across the state.
So let's talk about policy initiatives. What would you be doing? How do you see yourself attacking and handling these challenges?
I think that there are a lot of things that we can do. Michigan, we know, you know, the science shows that the first 1,000 days of your life are the most important in terms of determining your lifelong income, your lifelong health. We are missing generations of Michiganders because we don't have universal early childhood quality educational opportunities. I think that that's something that we know it works. We see it in other states. We know what it means for an individual's quality of life and their skills. And that's something that I'm throwing on the table and I'm excited about. And it resonates because it's science-based. It helps our economy. And there's no question, the most pressing concern of mine is it helps get individuals the skills they need so they can be successful.
So that's education. What else do you want to tackle?
That's one of them. There are a lot. I'm really eager to ensure that there are different paths for different people. Not every person in Michigan is going to go to a four-year university. And not everyone should feel like that's the only path to have a successful life here. I think that if we work developing private and public partnerships to create more skills training outside of high school, to ensure that more people have access to apprenticeships, to ensure that we're working with our community colleges to provide opportunity for adults who have been displaced or are don't have enough employment right now. I think those are great places where we can really elevate individuals' quality of life and do the jobs that are available. We know right now, because of the skills gap, there are a lot of jobs that are unfilled right now. Good quality jobs. We don't have enough electricians and plumbers. You can be your own boss, make a good living, and retire with comfort and dignity in this state. But there are just too few of us who even think about those as professions to go into. And I think that's a place where the state can play an important role and get people back to work and making a good living.
Do you see yourself doing something about Michigan's emergency manager law?
Well, there's no question that the emergency management law and the application of it in Flint, but in many other communities, has been a failure. When the people are cut out of government, the consequences can be life and death. There's no question. I voted against the emergency management law that the governor pushed through. I, like the rest of the population, voted to get rid of it when it was at the ballot. And then when they pushed it through again with an appropriation to avoid the people's right of referendum, I voted against it again because this was my fear. I never would have anticipated it could be so bad, but I knew that there would be consequences when the people are shut out and locked out and silenced in the provision of such crucial things like water. So I do foresee there being changes, and I can tell you right now I will veto any bill that has an appropriation in it to avoid the people's right of referendum. I think that that's really an important message to send. We need a governor who's strong enough to veto bills when it's trying to cut the public out, and I'm unequivocally making that promise right now on the campaign trail.
And what you just spelled out points out and highlights the problem Michigan Democrats have had, how you voted against at every level of the emergency manager law that we have, but it was passed. And Michigan Democrats certainly have struggled to regain a foothold in Lansing for years. We know Michigan went for Donald Trump, if only barely, just last November. So if you wind up getting the nomination, what is the message that you will bring to independents and to those who crossed over from traditionally voting for Democrats to voting for Trump?
Well, you know, I pride myself on really being a problem solver. I'll tell you, I was raised in a household. My dad was a Millikan Republican. My mother was a Frank Kelly Democrat. And I don't mean they just voted that way. My dad was actually in the Millikan administration. And my mother was one of Frank Kelly's top lawyers at the Attorney General's office. And so I was raised in this interesting household where public service was talked about as something that is really important, that at the end of the day, the It's about serving the public, putting the public first, not yourself, not some special interest. And I think I've earned a reputation for that in the legislature, really fighting when values are on the line, but being able to work with anyone who wants to move forward. I'm glad I was able to work with the governor on the Medicaid expansion in Michigan. We found some common ground on some important issues, and that's the philosophy that I bring. I am going to fight for accountability in government. I am going to fight for educational opportunities for our kids and career training skills for the average person in Michigan. And I'm going to fight to make sure that at the end of the day, you know that your water is clean enough to bathe your kids in and to for them to drink at the dinner table. And I'm willing to work with anyone who shares those values. I served with three different governors. I know that what it takes to make government work for people and how to get a diverse group of people around the table, including Republicans and independents, so that we can solve problems. And that's what's most important. And that's what I think we need more than ever in this state.
Gretchen Whitmer is a Democratic candidate for governor. We want to thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having me.